So I want to welcome all of you again as we are continuing in our Message at the Movies sermon series. So part of the job, I think, as a pastor, a preacher, a communicator, is to find images or examples that help bring to life the timeless truths that we find in Scripture. And in this series, we're finding some of those images or illustrations of those timeless truths in some contemporary films. So last week we looked at the movie Beauty and the Beast, and Belle helped us remember or learn that it is acts of love that have the power to transform our hearts and transform the world. Today we will be continuing with Finding Dory, and this is a movie that helps us understand a little bit about what it means to forget, and what it means to find our way home. But before we go any further, will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. I pray this in Jesus' holy name, and all God's people said. So our movie for today is Finding Dory. By a show of hands, how many of you have seen Finding Dory? Okay, some people have seen Finding Dory. It is actually the sequel to a movie that came out, I can't believe this, almost 15 years ago. Yeah, I know, isn't that scary? It's the sequel to the movie Finding Nemo. So how many of you have seen Finding Nemo and are familiar with that? Okay, so Finding Nemo is where we first encounter Dory, who is the blue tang fish that you see on the screen there. And we also encounter Nemo, who is the little clownfish there with the one fin that is smaller than the other. And we find Nemo's clownfish father, whose name is Marlin. So Nemo has a small fin, and Marlin is over-anxious and protective of his son. And in the movie, Nemo ends up getting caught, and he winds up in an aquarium in a dentist's office, right? And Marlin and Dory team up to try and find him and rescue him and bring him back home. And one of the reoccurring themes that we see in the movie Finding Nemo is that Dory happens to be a very forgetful fish, right? Well, now we jump ahead to the sequel of the movie, which is Finding Dory. And we learn in Finding Dory that Dory was actually born with a short-term memory problem. And her parents try very hard to teach her life skills so that she can cope with this challenging situation and so that she will be safe. But tragically, despite their best teaching efforts, Dory is separated from them. And it is in this separation that we learn just how much of a challenge her memory issues are. So we're going to watch a clip in a minute, and I want you to pay close attention to how her loss of memory progresses during this time. What's the progression? When she's, you know, this little tiny fish, she knows that she's looking for her family. She's lost her family. And then she knows she's looking for someone, but she's not really sure who that someone is. And then she's looking for something, but she can't remember what that something is. And eventually, the memory of her family has completely slipped away from her. And I think that all of us suffer from memory loss or amnesia from time to time. And I'm not talking about the I can't find my car keys or my cell phone type memory loss, although I am guilty of that all of the time. But I'm talking about spiritual amnesia. It is that amnesia that causes us to forget who we are and whose we are. It is that amnesia that we experience as we wander away from God and we forget our identity in God and in Jesus Christ. We see that in the story of the prodigal son. He was a young man who forgot his identity as a beloved child. And instead, he acted selfishly, asking for his inheritance early, which in that culture was basically saying, I wish you were dead, or you were dead to me. And his father gives him his inheritance, and he goes to a far-off country, and he forgets his values. He forgets who he is and to whom he belongs. And I think that that can happen to us as well. There are times that we experience spiritual amnesia and we forget who we are. We forget that we are sons and daughters of the King. We forget that we are those who have been purchased at a great price. We forget that through Christ we are brothers and sisters to one another. And when we forget those things, our spiritual amnesia causes us to be separated from one another and separated from God, just as Dory was separated from her family and as the prodigal son was separated from his father. But that memory loss does not need to be permanent. We have times when we can experience an epiphany that reminds us where we belong and to whom we belong. For Dory, that epiphany happened as a result of a dream. And if you'll turn out the lights again, I want you to enjoy this film clip where we see how excited she is that she remembers. So sometimes that epiphany comes to us as a result of a dream. Maybe it comes to us through a verse of scripture that just comes to mind and helps us remember who we are and to whom we belong. Sometimes, quite honestly, that epiphany comes to us in the midst of the hardships and the challenges of life. And that is certainly what happened in the story of the prodigal son, right? When was it that he came to himself? I love that phrase in the scripture passage. Was it when everything was great for him? No. It was when he had spent all of his money, when he was almost starving to death, when he was out in the field feeding pigs, when he had hit rock bottom. That's when he came to himself. And he remembered his father. He remembered his home. Sometimes it's in the midst of the challenges of life that we remember our Heavenly Father and we remember our home. And then there are times when it's what somebody else says to us that helps us remember who we are and helps us remember our Heavenly Father. Sometimes God speaks to us through the words and the encouragement of others. There's a story that's been around for a long time about a family that had a 3-year-old son and a newborn baby. And they brought the baby home from the hospital, and the 3-year-old kept saying to his parents, I want to hold the baby. I want to hold the baby. I want to hold the baby. And the parents were like, you know, you can hold the baby, but we need to help you hold the baby because you're 3 years old and this is a newborn and we need to help you hold the baby. He said, no, I want to hold the baby and I want to be by myself. And the parents were like, this is not a good idea. And they were really hoping that, you know, he'd let go of it. And they were like, no, you can't do that today. You have to wait till you're a little bit bigger. No, you can't do that today. You have to wait till you're a little bit bigger. No, I want to hold the baby and I want to do it by myself. So finally, they said, okay, you can do that. Sit down here in the chair. And they put some pillows around to help prop up the baby, and they put the baby in the 3-year-old's arm, and then they stepped outside of the room, but, you know, they're parents, so they're listening at the door to make sure everything's okay and there's not anything crazy going on. And as they're listening, they hear their 3-year-old say to the newborn, tell me about God, because I'm beginning to forget. sometimes it's in what others share with us that we have our epiphany and we are able to remember who we are and whose we are. And you know what? That's grace. Grace is what pulls us out of our spiritual amnesia. And grace is what brings us home. One of the things I find so beautiful about the movie Finding Dory is that Dory remembers her family, and then she has these series of adventures as she's trying to make her way back to them and trying to find them. And the cast of characters in Finding Dory, these are broken and imperfect creatures, right? There is Hank the octopus, who is missing a tentacle. So Dory points out, well, you're really a septopus, right? There is Destiny, the whale shark, who is so nearsighted she can't swim without bumping into things. There is Bailey, who is a beluga whale, whose echolocation ability he does not trust and thinks it's not working right. There's Nemo with his undersized fin. And there's Marlin, who on the outside you can't see that there's anything wrong, but whose life experiences have given him so much anxiety and fear that it is difficult for him to trust and let go. And all of them work together to help Dory find her way home. And I find that really encouraging because you know what? I'm a broken and imperfect person. And if I had to wait until everything was great in my life to be willing to help somebody else, it would never happen. We all together, I hate to tell you this, we all together are broken and imperfect people, right? But that's what church is about. This is not a museum for saints, right? It's a hospital for sinners, for those who are broken and those who are imperfect. But like Dory's cast of friends, we can work together to help one another remember whose we are and help one another find our way back home. Grace helps us find our way home, and grace welcomes us when we arrive. Okay, this is a spoiler alert, because if you haven't seen Finding Dory and you don't want to know the ending, you can like plug your ears and cover your eyes, or you can step out. I'll give you a minute to do that. It's okay. Anybody? All right. So I take. Oh, you're killing me. All right. So before we see this next scene, Dory's had all these series of adventures. She's making her way to where she believes she might find her parents. And we don't know whether she's going to find them or not. But one of the things that you need to know as we look at this scene is that when Dory was little, you remember I told you her parents did all sorts of things to help her cope with her short-term memory loss. And one of the things they did to help her cope with it was they used to line up seashells to point the way to where her home was, so that if she got separated from them, she could just follow the trail of seashells and find her way home. Let's see what happens as the search for her parents comes to an end. So short-term memory loss clearly is not going away for Dory. But she found her way home. And I love how her parents went out every day and put down another trail of seashells so that she might be able to find her way back home. They were searching for her. And it reminds me of the father in the story of the prodigal son, because the scripture tells us that the father saw the son while he was yet at a distance. And you know what that tells me? that Dad wasn't just sitting inside the house reading a book, that he was in the doorway, at the window, constantly scanning the horizon, looking and hoping and praying that his son would make his way home. That's grace. And grace is there to welcome us when we come home. Sometimes we experience spiritual amnesia. Sometimes we forget who we are and whose we are. But God reaches out to us, sometimes whispering to us through a dream or through a verse of scripture, "You are my beloved child. Come back home." And God encourages us through broken and imperfect people who help us make our way back home. And sometimes God calls to us through the circumstances of our lives and reminds us that our life in Christ is deeper and richer than anything we could ever experience apart from him. And when we finally take that tentative step, when we remember who we are and to whom we belong, and we take that tentative step to head back home, God runs out to welcome us and greet us. That is grace. And it's what brings us home. Will you pray with me, please? Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of grace that you pour out in our hearts and in our lives. Whenever we wander, whenever we forget, help us hear the grace that you pour out on us, calling us back home. I pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said.